just to let you know, I'm recording.
Oh, fuck off.
Only now.
We're on the subject of flossing.
Only because you just gave a really interesting demonstration of flossing.
Before we start, can we just have a full disclaimer that anyone's offended by bad language or, you know, politically dubious statements should probably stop listening now, because it's quite far into the evening. There will be bad language, because this is the longest sentence I've said for like an hour without a swear word in it.
You're doing well, and I think that was actually quite a professional introduction, if it wasn't for the fact you swore in it.
I don't think for one second any of us are politically dubious. We're just not Tory wankers. That's there's nothing particularly dubious about not being a Tory, I don't think.
I was trying to think of a way of saying that there may be something that could be deemed politically incorrect.
Or opinions, just opinions in general.
Opinions that may be offensive to the people of a weak disposition.
It's interesting how a microphone does kind of suddenly, shall we say, amend
the your attention somewhat, yes. Yeah. I'm suddenly very conscious.
Richard has taken out a notebook and pen. You're going to be writing down what you're saying just in case.
You do, yes.
Comes back to haunt you.
No, only if
Councillor Richard is taking minutes. What a surprise.
Hang on, don't. You've just broken his cover. The fact that he managed to get here tonight.
Oh, no, my cover's gone.
Don't worry, nobody can see your chains on a podcast.
Oh, by the way, it's your round.
It is my round, yes. No, the notebook is solely so that I can...
Take minutes,
yeah. I can show you visuals without recording it. So.
Is that coming out of my council tax, that round, by the way?
Part of me had hoped to capture some sense, but you're right, we might have tipped over the meridian.
We may not want to mention in here.
Tossbag.
Yeah, we
that's not how you spell Tossbag.
You're not allowed to say that word. That one you've just read on there that's got enough. It's got enough consonants in it that it could.
You've just written a word on a notepad, and I've got that album.
You've got the album. No.
Yeah, by Django Reinhardt. Oh, am I reading it incorrectly? Because I am dyslexic.
He sold his soul to the devil, apparently.
For real?
Yeah.
Well, apparently this Django sold his soul to the Tory Party.
Well, it's the same thing.
Oh, you see, I completely was lost on that. Really late into the moment, but who's around the table?
Hi, Adrian Uchugian Story.
Look at me, get all professional. Hang on, do that again.
Hi, my name's Adrian Uchugian Story. I can't even say my first name. That is an indicator of how difficult it is to be professional at this point. Yes, Uchugian, DOP, editor, general, layabout. Watch a lot of Grey's Anatomy in my pants.
I'm Adrian Uchugian Story. I make quite weird films about all sorts of stuff.
Writing and porn.
Yeah, all the stuff that I really like to get onto in my personal home time when I'm watching TV in my pants.
This is actually Dave. I got to reach down. He's only like 2.5 foot tall. That's not even a thing in my vocabulary. I have no idea what that means. Reach around is completely...
Exactly where I was going to... That's the reach around. Everyone knows.
Too late. No, it's not. It's not live stream.
If it needs...
I'm also not going to edit.
It needs one of those faux neon signs as it's live.
This is what you call actuality. Richard, you're an artist.
No, I'm also actually Adrian. Sorry. A.K.A. Uchugian, and maker of many films, many quality films.
Oh, you said quality.
Quality. Equality. It might be.
You may have seen me in quality films.
Like Dulux, the movie.
I'm Troy McClure. You may have seen me in Adrian's films.
Quality films. You should definitely pull that on your business card.
I've already got it. It's at Quality Films.
Quickly buy it. Book it. Sign up. So, yeah. Tonight is probably only the second. I'm Adrian Story, a.k.a. Utrujin, or as you properly pronounce it, Utrujin. Is that good?
No. No. Utrujin.
It's got to be said slowly, not aggressively.
Explain what Utrujin means, Shri.
He's already done that.
No, 1,000 times. I've done it 1,000 times on. I've done it at least 5 times on Christian's podcast. He's Chris. That's Christian Payne. That's Richard Slade.
My concern
that's
here.
That's Dave Like a Fleet.
Hello.
I've got. Sorry. There's only one.
There's only one.
My concern here, and it's always been my concern, is I've got no AKA.
Well, you don't have an online persona?
No.
So actually, you have. What? We just don't tell you what it is. Right.
Yeah, yeah. You said you keep that one secret, do you, Richard?
I do, yes. I do.
Slippy Slade.
So, at the moment, I'm going by Slade Design. So, do I stick with that?
Yeah.
Slade Design works. Slade Design. Yeah, apart from the 70s glam rock band, everything's good about that.
Yeah.
So,
I definitely do not wish it was Christmas every day, for the record.
And I wish that we got together more often, only because this is probably only the second time we've been out drinking together this year. Is that right?
The second time we've done it properly like this, sat around a table in a public place. Yeah. That, I mean, that, you know, if you look at the reaction of the people around us, there's probably a reason for that. Normally we do it in someone's house so as not to offend the general public.
There were people who thought we were doing some virtual reality drinking, I think.
Say that again.
Virtual reality. That's not what I said before, wasn't it?
It was a slur.
But we were. We did it. We got the Oculus Go here, and we all were having a go. And it is weird that it's weird now. I think that it's not going to be that much longer until people are maybe even pairing up and both sharing virtual spaces in public places. Virtual spaces in public places. Make a note. That sounds like a good blog post.
I think you're right, but I think it's still a slightly strange thing, because why would you come here to a pub and all put on headsets and do it together? There's no point in us coming here, right? It's cheaper for me to sit at home and drink and put on a virtual headset and then share a virtual space with you three. And actually, given how often we can actually physically be in the same place, probably easier, that it's much easier for us all to put on a virtual headset, go to a same virtual place, have a drink with a straw so we don't spill it all down ourselves. My shirt, which you've all commented on tonight, thanks a lot for that. I don't feel so self-conscious at all about wearing a shirt now, if we all go, that's much more likely. That to me seems like that might actually be quite a good thing, because then we can actually inhabit the same space but not inhabit the same space at the same time. This is the whole point of shared virtual spaces, right?
Because once you get that shared virtual space, you can design that virtual space as well between you. You can have something that you actually all want within that space.
Can we have a framed picture of that lady in the like green oriental dress on the wall?
You want some?
I think that comes as standard, unless you pay to upgrade. But this has happened before on Seismic. We used to have a Friday night was drinking night, and in America, people would join in asynchronous video, cracking open a beer in the daytime. They'd be lunchtime drinking, we'd be evening drinking. So we had this party, we had this weird, let's all connect from our own homes. The fact that visuals are now here, I can't imagine what it would like when we actually feel like we're in the physical space instead of staring into a lens and communicating people through a 2D screen.
I don't think it'll be that long, because I think you can your brain is easily tricked. So I think if we were all sat at our various homes geographically,
I've already been invited to a virtual drinking club through Oculus Places or whatever it's called. There are a lot of shared spaces already, so the fact that you guys don't have the technology is the only thing holding me back from saying yeah, let's do that, because I'm much happier, as you can tell, drinking with you guys than I am with complete strangers.
But it's not a massive price bracket thing that's going on either at the minute.
£200 for the self-contained unit.
In a year's time, that's going to be £75. 2 years' time, that's going to be £50, which is the same money that someone might spend on a Friday night out anyway.
It'll still be £200 in cash converters.
The price fluctuations in cash converters are completely different to what the money does everywhere else in the world.
Or crack converters, as we like to call it between us.
My serious point before that was that the visuals don't have to be photo real for your brain to believe it's real. So the graphics, to be honest with you, the stuff that we just looked at on Oculus Go now, if the graphics are that good, after 5 minutes, you forget you're in a virtual space. I think if we were sat around having this conversation in a virtual space, then we, you know, very quickly, we would forget we were in a virtual space.
Absolutely.
And it wouldn't matter anymore that it wasn't quite photo real, or that, you know, that there were some, you know, things that weren't quite like they should be. It wouldn't matter anymore. The whole point is it's totally immersive, audio immersive, video immersive.
With that Blade Runner one, did you want to be able to interact with it? So I wanted to be able to see my hand on the gear sticks. I wanted to be able to see my legs.
The Blade Runner demo that I showed you was literally an advertisement for the film. So can you imagine what it would be like if it was a game? It'd be interactive.
So you better look down and see that your legs are there, and you better see your hands on the joysticks.
Your legs would be there graphically, but I don't necessarily think with the Oculus Go they would be reactively. You move your legs,
you
would they move?
You want to see a physical person sitting there. You don't want to see in a vacant space, because it just felt a bit weird looking down and seeing nothing.
This is very much in the budget end of what's going on. The fact that we're not tethered right now is the key. What will come next will be Bluetooth battery operated sensors that you place around the room. There'll be like stickers on the wall, and your headset will be able to place you spatially within that environment. So moving around in your room, should you have a big enough room, will mean you are moving around in that virtual space, and that is going to be a game changer.
We're still very much in the early days of it as well. We're still very much in the early days of being able to go and buy these things after the cardboard box thing that you were talking about earlier. Now we're getting to this point where it's affordable. It's not massively affordable to everyone, but it's affordable. Yeah. It's affordable gear.
It's a gaming console. Yeah. It's a massive screen TV. There's a lot of things that it does that makes it worth the money.
Yeah, once you have that thing on your head, it feels huge, and you're right inside it. And
I'm going to take that out and use that as a sample. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Following on from what Richard said, have you guys seen Player One? Have you seen
I haven't seen the film yet.
I watched some of it the other day.
You watched some of it the other day? How do you only watch half a film?
I just watched some of the bit.
My dad will pause a film and then watch it the next day. What is wrong with you? If I paused your record in the middle and went, I'm just going to listen to the rest of that tomorrow, I've listened to half that track, and now that's enough of that. I'm going to stop that. I'm going to do something. I'm going to listen to that. How you be offended? Don't do it to us who make films.
You can have three films on the go at the same time. At different stages.
What's wrong with that? He obviously needs a wee.
I love the sound effects. Like
he's on hooves. He's on little fleshy hooves.
You've got a mono microphone, so it's not going to matter that I'm moving my hands up and down the table. It's not going to sound like it.
He's right. The sound designer is going to pick fault in the technology. There he is. Well, there he is. There's Mr. Adrian. Looks like a random stalker photographing random people. He's outside the window right now. We need subtitles on the window. He's now mouthing what appears to be obscenities.
Subtitles on pub windows.
So you're ripping pages from the notebook to write obscenities on it and show through the window. What were you writing earlier on?
I can't say that.
Oh, really? You can't? Was it a reminder?
I know, it was about our local MP, wasn't it?
I'm not going to mention his name.
Okay, let's just not. Oh! I recognise the name now.
Yes.
It wasn't an album. Oh, it all comes back full circle. Yeah, yeah.
It was a shit album.
Yeah, and that's why you talked about the Conservatives.
Conservatives, yeah.
Easy now, watch it with your slurring. Anyway, here we are in a Wetherspoons, which I got accused of supporting Brexit by being in a Wetherspoons earlier on. Do you know why?
Because the man that owns Wetherspoons was very pro-Brexit. Yeah. And
didn't they shut down all their social media?
Did they?
They have just recently shut down all their social media, yeah, so you can't tell them that you've had an issue.
No, I think it's a response to GDPR, wasn't it?
Surely their social media would own. How are they logging and storing people's data through that?
No, I'm sure I heard it.
Well, I don't think they were for a minute. I think it's actually because so many people go, I've had a shit time with this place. I think the thing is, and I don't think it's a fair comment really, that, you know, a lot of people are probably going there and go, I've had a shit time where it's been. Awful lot of people that have had a great afternoon or a great evening with their families or anyone else or their mates never actually go on there and go, I've had a great evening tonight, and it happens to be in Witherspoons. Yeah. You write something on Twitter or Facebook, I've had a great night with my mates, you never mention where you've had a great night. When you've had a shit night, you always mention where you had a shit night because of the fact that you had a shit night in one particular place. And it probably is down to the fact that you were spoken to badly by the people that work behind the bar, or you had terrible bar service, or...
I can't say that exists here, though, can you? I mean, no. Weirdly, I feel that this revamping of what was effectively a derelict building has been a breath of fresh air in a way to Huntingdon, and... I must admit,
it's a massive space, isn't it?
It's huge. You can hide away in a corner, like we kind of not in the more hidey corners that we like to find in here. But yeah, out of date beer, massively discounted.
They don't do out of date beer anymore, do they?
I thought they do.
They
got buying power to make it £1.99 a pint.
Because they buy a load of beer, and they get people to make beer just for them as well, and they buy. As far as I don't work for them, obviously. Yeah. But as far as I know, yeah, that was where their start.
It does sound like an advert. You're right. But apparently, you're not sponsored by Weatherspoon.
The starting point apparently was that they used to buy beer that was going out of date, and knowing that it would sell it cheap, and it would go.
I thought they still did that.
No, apparently.
The only time I've ever had a hangover is in Weatherspoons, and I said that almost slurring. Then did you notice that? We were talking about the Brexitization of Weatherspoons.
You really want to ask me that question?
Nope. I just wanted to feature nod inaudibly. Brilliant. I've got to hear your hair, though. The hair wafting past the microphone shield.
You know, I smell the coconut oil.
Is that what it was? So, how do we wrap this up as a conversational pub? You're not finished.
I'm talking about Oculus. Okay.
Richard is taking the mic.
Taking the mic, yes. And I've forgotten completely what I was going to say now.
Something to do with ocular cavities.
No, so the big deal about video games makers, if you can call them video games, is the fact that they will only build video games that they know are going to sell. So they design it's a format that they know is going to work, so they can make as much money as possible. Because they're injecting so much cash into building these games, it takes a lot of time, a lot of money to build them. Do you think Oculus is going to change that industry, because it's in a completely different type of software? Do you think that you'll have games that don't cost as much to build? Do you think that think about like Grand Theft Auto, the size of it, the complexity, and the amount that you can do with it, and the amount of time that we had to go into build that? Would you do that with Oculus?
But that engine could fit easily within side Oculus, because it's already a 360 degree environment, because it's computer generated.
But for new kind of startups that are developing games that don't have all of that team to build and develop that game,
I imagine new startups that are starting to build games now will be very aware of what the Oculus thing is as a whole, and will be starting to build games.
It's not just Oculus, not to want to plug one particular brand, VR and
the whole VR thing, they'll be understanding what that is. And we'll be already looking at building games in that environment.
Aren't there two points about that, though? Because though the games that you're talking about are made by big companies like EA and whoever, so those games are made by huge, huge Rockstar, huge, huge teams of people. But I think there are small independent game developers that are making games for the same reason that Christian makes content, or Dave makes music, or you do design for your own, and I make films, is that because we love it. That's what we love doing it. There are lots of game companies doing that, I think there are lots of amazing talents within that industry who are doing that. And of course, they're fed off it, fed off their own industry the same way we're all fed off our own industries. So I think that they're amazing. Some of the most popular games on Valve or on Steam are independent games that have been made by one or two guys because they love it.
Because it can allow those smaller organisations or individuals to build games that are going to push the boundaries and push the technology. Whereas at the moment, it's some of these big game makers, it's very staid because there's a format, they want it to work, they want to make money with it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but there'll also be people that were probably looking at making games years ago that were probably way ahead of their game, as it were. Sorry, using the same word twice in a sentence. But who now coming back and going, actually, that sort of maze-looking game that we were looking at, or the spider web thing that we were looking at, will actually now work. We can go back and rework games. So there'll be people that have been probably making games for years that have had other ideas that have been jotted down in notebooks for years, and they'll come back to them now. They can come back and go, let's actually see if this stuff will work.
I definitely think the parameters are exploding when it comes to the possibilities of what it is you can do. I had a conversation at the breakfast table today about what might happen when we as humans realise that the only way that we are experiencing reality as it stands is through electrical impulses in our brain, which are translating input. It's a much smaller step than I think many people realise for virtual reality to become actual reality, because there is no reason for us not to be just plugged into a machine, to have a catheter, to be in. This kind of technology.
Well, there are several reasons not to have a catheter, i.e., it fucking hurts inserting one for a start. But
you had a catheter.
Yeah.
How and why?
For when that's for another.
You brought it up, man. You brought it up.
That's for another podcast. The point of the matter.
Check out CatheterCast.com.
It hurts.
Okay. Love how you said that violently three times. I believe you now. So, and yet, we will. To be plugged in as a human biological body, we will have to have all of these kind of wires to keep our organs and everything else fleshy working until we can.
One of us around this table that doesn't still like to switch everything off and occasionally have a walk in the hills.
Yeah, but you can do that virtually, because all you're doing. Same. You say that. Why is it not the same? Because the technology hasn't come up to is not up to scratch.
Well, where? When technology does get up to scratch, it still might be nice.
Breakdown
to as do a, it for real.
You say that for real. There is no differentiation between technology's real and our real if it's inserting the same impulses. As a filmmaker, Adrian, walking in the hills, what sensual impulses do you feel from that, and why can technology not deliver that?
The difference is there is because at some point within the virtual world,
which is Dave talking,
which is still a game, yeah. No matter what way you look at it, it's still a game.
No, I don't believe that.
Even if you create a virtual world that we can just go and walk around exactly the same as everything else. Yeah. There's not that same impulse that nature has.
You say you
can sit in a field in the middle of nowhere, and that computer version of that field in the middle of nowhere is not going to have that same bird that goes past.
Why not?
Because it's not going to feel the same to me.
Have you even looked into what the potential is with AI to generate and follow the patterns of migration or the behaviour of birds to develop that in an organic way?
I've seen those films.
Adrian.
Well, no, I think you're right. I think we're heading rapidly towards a dystopian future where, given sufficient technological advancement, that it's reality as we now perceive it and virtual reality are indistinguishable from each other. So you know you have a full body suit that provides you haptic feedback. You have virtual reality that's photoreal.
You don't need the haptic feedback if you're plugging into the brain.
Well, also, you don't need photoreal either. Your brain is fooled much easier than photoreal, actually. You know, as we all just played that Blade Runner game, but then we all went on the roller coaster years, game.
We've also discovered by the fact we used
where
to
were your dreams come.
We used to watch black and white TV. All of us are old enough to remember that the black and white TV programmes on quite a lot when we were younger, and we still believed in the realism that was coming out of the TV at that point.
Do you dream in black and white or colour?
I don't know.
But I remember you talking about frame rates. So you were saying that the frame rates for this country are 25, and then the States is 24. And was it Lord of the Rings? It was filmed... 48. Yeah. So because it was filmed at 48, it doesn't feel natural because it's too slick. The quality is too good.
Yeah, yeah. The first time I watched HD TV stuff, it just felt like the light was so fresh on
it. But it's not just the light.
It felt really odd.
It's the movement. So you were saying that when something moves, it needs to blur. So your eyes perceive... When one object moves from one location to another, your eyes perceive it as blurring. If it's too photoreal, there are too many frames, that blur won't happen.
So do you think this is going to be an issue when it comes to VR?
If there's no blur on the screen, your eyes still see... If the screen is that high quality, your eyes will still see the same blur as they will if I've just moved my hands across...
Richard has elucidated a very good point, but he's slightly misrepresented it, which is that we are so used to seeing movies that have been filmed at 24 or 25 frames, usually 24 for actual movie cameras, for so long that when we watch a movie, what we're used to, it's become so natural to us that that's what it looks like. That if you try and fuck with the frame rate. Again, apology. If you try and mess with the frame rate, then what happens is it's perceived wrong. It's like when you watch really old TV that was done on video cameras that was filmed at 30 frames a second. It looks wrong. It looks like video. And when you see a movie, it looks like a movie because that's to do with the frame rate. It's not just to do with the color or the contrast or all those. It's to do with the frame rate. So,
speaking of frame rate and numbers, how many years do you think we've got until we will look at a square screen, a two-dimensional flat visualization, and think that that's weird? How many years?
That's a good question. I think there's a lot of legs still left in TV.
I reckon we've got about two generations.
Two generations. How long's a generation?
Well, my small children... My 6-year-old boy, I think his grandkids.
Just give me a number, Dave.
Yeah. Generations about 12 to 15 years, I think.
Okay, so you reckon 30 years' time, then things are going to up again?
Well, generations I can't calculate in my head, but hundreds and hundreds of years, because we still look at Vermeer paintings and think they're amazing, and they're paintings on a wall. We still look at Da Vinci paintings and look at them, and to us they're still amazing visual experiences. I don't think that frame is ever going away. It's never going away. We just add things to it. So we add extra experiences to it. The same way that we added TV, same way that we added photography to painting, and then we added TV to painting, and now we added HD. TV to TV.
Theologically, when we are stepping inside a virtual 360-degree immersive painting or screen or whatever you want to look at it, those representations of 2D are going to be inside that carapace. And so ultimately they're not. Just thought I'd throw that in there.
But what I'm saying is, when you do a virtual tour of a museum, what you're actually looking at is the painting on the wall of the virtual museum, and
back then to me sitting in a field, laying on my back and just watching birds fly over the top of my head occasionally, and going, "This is great," and you saying, "Oh no, we can actually do that in the virtual world." Then we're never going to get to a point where someone's going to be able to take a photograph of a picture or somebody else's photograph or a beautiful painting that is going to make me feel the same about when I actually stand physically in front of that painting and have that moment to myself to think about how great that painting was and reflect on how many years ago it was painted. And
have you read about how many scientists believe that we're already in a virtualization?
Yeah, I think they're all fucking idiots.
Richard,
it's your round. It is my round,
yeah. Yes, I have. So Elon Musk is a perfect example, right? Elon Musk has made statements like that. And I think, you know, for us, for our generation, one of the defining films, and I don't think I'm wrong, I don't think I would be out of place to say this, one of the defining films of our generation is The Matrix. It's how do we know we're not living in The Matrix? And I think there's a very real, you know, you ask how long is it till...
I think it's
a shipyard. You ask how long it is until we think that until it becomes real. I think we very soon there will be people who will live inside virtual reality for most of their adult lives, and that will be that will be as real as the table I'm touching now while I'm caressing, even not just touching, caressing the table I'm caressing now. If you have a full body haptic feedback suit and almost for as good enough to fool your brain visual input in a VR environment, it doesn't matter. It's as real as this is. Your brain is very, very good at adjusting to the input not being quite as good as it should be. Your glasses have got shit on them. My glasses. I wear glasses. If I've got dirt on my glasses, my brain will edit out the muck on my glasses.
Yeah. And
my brain will do it. My brain will edit out the spot.
You can do the filter so it looks like everything's upside down. It takes something like 12 hours or something for your brain to suddenly go, it's actually all right. We know what's going on. You've seen that research was done in the 60s, 70s, wasn't it, where they did that weird filtering thing.
So if your brain can do that, when you present your best effort at virtual reality in a headset, it doesn't have to be real. It doesn't have to be as good as real. It just has to be good enough.
It has to be good enough
to fool your brain, and your brain likes being fooled.
I still like real.
But I still like
real.
You
won't know what is real.
I know. I won't know what's real at some point in the future.
Real is decided in your brain.
You don't know now.
I've had more than one pint.
VAT, I think, is the term. VAT is a fact.
Yeah.
I'm going to need to wrap this up. 30 minutes. Luckily, nobody's going to listen to this bit.
I mean, if anyone's got to this point, really, follow us on Twitter. We'll buy you a pint. Yeah. I'll buy you a pint. If you've got this far in and you've listened to all of it, I'll buy you a pint.
Yeah. What's your name
on
Twitter?
Every single person who's got to this point, having listened to all of it, I owe you a pint. At UchujinPhoto on Twitter.
And can that pint be converted into a PayPal donation?
No, it has to be a physical pint in a physical pub, because of what we've just talked about. You actually have to come here to Huntingdon and I will buy you a pint in this pub, which is Wetherspoons, because then it's roughly £2 a pint. So,
because he won't buy you a bunk IPA, I know that much.
I'm pretty sure I can cover everyone who's listened this far. And now I need to go and
urinate.
Talk to the bishop.
I live about 7 or 8 miles up the road from Adrian, so come and find me. I'll do the same, because honestly, it's been absolute fucking nonsense.
And Richard is at the bar getting in the last round of the night. Richard Slade, you can find him on Twitter, I think, as Richard Slade. Your Twitter name needs spelling.
At Laika23, LAICA23. Richard, I think, is Slade Design, isn't he, on Twitter?
Right.
Yeah, Slade Design. Just
Adrian,
S.
Spell it.
Adrian.
Yeah, not Adrian. Spell his Twitter name.
At UCHUJIN.
Nice one.
And I'm Documentally with 2 L's, should you be inclined. Once again, thank you very much for listening to our experimental moments in actuality. That's what I'm going to call it. We are still continuing into the night. It is past 11 p.m. we've probably got another 30 minutes in us, just as the pints land on the table.
Cheers. Thank you
very much.